Welcome to our Conversational Expositions. I'm Nate. I'm with Pastor David and Pastor David. And we're at our last session here. Well, I mean, you're both, you know.
It just sounds kind of funny.
It sounds kind of funny.
It does.
Put it that way.
But that is their names, David, David. And we're at our last, can you believe it's our last session? Our last time talking about Exodus here. Perhaps, maybe a few
well,
more.
We'll see. At least for this section.
Yeah. And we're talking about the bronze laver. This big pool that was used for washing. So, want to take us home here?
Okay, 17? I'll do it. Starting at verse 17 of Exodus chapter 30, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'You shall also make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. You shall put water in it, for Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations."
Wow. Well, the first thing I realized is no cubit here, cubit there. Let's make it this big. Make it. This just says make a bronze laver.
No kind of dimensions given. Yeah. It's just sort of build it. And I mean, okay, so I guess they just had to build what would fit, what seemed pretty good. But is there any kind of significance to this idea that there's no dimension given for it?
The idea that there's no limit to...
Come on, get a little symbolical. Yeah. Get a little...
There's no limit. The cleansing that we receive is limitless.
Yeah. How about that?
It's huge.
Right. Okay, now check this out. We are told that all of this was made according to a heavenly pattern. Didn't we read that?
That's right.
Didn't we start off that way? Way back at Exodus chapter 25.
Moses was given a vision of it as well.
What in heaven corresponds to this?
The pool, the sea.
The sea of glass.
The glassy sea. Wow. Isn't that cool? Before the throne of God, there's a glassy sea. Before this representation of God's throne on earth, there is this water of labor.
Wow.
Water of labor. Okay, good.
Now, in reference to the sea of glass being in Santa Barbara, will there be waves on the sea of glass?
You guys both know that what you want is you want glassy conditions with a good swell.
True.
Yeah. Right? You don't want it corrupted by wind chop or anything
right.
So, yeah. So there would be hope for that. There's potential.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. We're not going to go on the record with that, but just say there's potential for it. So make the laver of bronze and its base also of bronze. Now, I find it kind of fascinating because it says that you make the base also bronze, it implies that the base and the laver were two separate things. Our modeler sort of represented it like that. Who knows if that's how it looked. But he's just trying to communicate the idea that it seems to imply, verse 18, that the base was separate from the laver itself.
Well, remember when Solomon made his, he had his laver on the back of lions. You know,
wasn't it oxen?
Or...
I think it was oxen.
Oxen or
lions? Okay, people can look it up.
They can look
it up. I'm thinking oxen.
I want to say lions, but
look, either you're lying or I'm not. We're both wrong. Maybe we're both wrong. Cheetahs?
I don't know.
Is that what you're saying?
Don't quote me.
Okay.
Zebras. Yes, okay.
Okay,
but some sort of animal.
Some sort of animal, right. So his base was special, but again, separate from the pool itself.
Yes.
Now notice, verse 18 also says, "You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar." That's the location of it. Up on the screen, our viewers can see we sort of highlighted where that location is. Sort of right in the middle, you'd come in through the gate, you'd come to the altar of burnt offering, then you'd go to the laver of washing before you went into
the tabernacle. Outside of the tabernacle, in the court, outside the tabernacle.
Now, you know, part of this would be because from a very practical basis, when you're performing sacrifice, you're bloody, you're sweaty, it's hard work. Clean yourself up before you go into the house of the Lord. So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good idea.
Now, would they get into the laver, or would they remove the water out of the laver? I know it doesn't really necessarily say that here, but...
This is very interesting and really not reflected by our modeler, okay? The next slide, this is our modeler's kind of idea of how they did it, of how they went in there with pails or pitchers or something like that. I don't think people, sat on the edge and hung their feet in or something like that. there are many commentators, many Jewish commentators, who believe that there were some kind of spigots or faucets that came out of it. Hmm. Not really substantiated, but that's what the idea is. It doesn't seem like they actually put their hands into it, but they drew water out of it some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Kind of the idea, just speaking of just washing, like I mentioned a second ago, washing, becoming clean before you enter into the house of the Lord. I think about, right, doesn't David say things like, who in Psalm 24, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart.
He's almost thinking of this tabernacle service, mm-hmm. isn't he? And he's thinking of the washing that comes. Now, how does this relate for a believer? Does it speak of baptism, perhaps?
Well, no, because the baptism doesn't cleanse you of your sin. It's symbolic of what God has done inside of you. But the cleansing comes from the blood of Jesus that has been spilled. So it's the sacrifice comes before the cleansing of our sins. The sacrifice of Jesus is what cleanses us.
You come to the altar first, right. then there's
cleansing. You see that kind of the progression of it from the sacrifice to the cleansing into the
presence
of God.
Kind of like the idea of Jesus, he catches his fish before he cleans his fish.
All right, good. That'll work too.
Right.
You can't go straight to the laver. You got to go by the altar. Mm-hmm. You got to go through the altar to that place of cleansing.
Yeah.
You know, there's another verse I'd just like to throw out before you guys. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 speaks of the washing of water by the word. Mm. What's going on with that?
Wow. Well, in this context, isn't it talking about marriage? That a husband should wash.
Well, true, but actually it's speaking of the work of Jesus on behalf of his church and how marriage is an illustration of that. So it's connected to marriage, but it is speaking about the work of Jesus.
But in particular, the word is a cleansing agent for our hearts. Mm. As you read, as you meditate on it, as you dissect it, it cleanses, it purifies, it shows us where we have, you know, fallen, the impurities that are there, and through repentance and God's forgiveness, those we can be cleansed.
You know, now this is fascinating and something that I love to talk about. The idea that there is a spiritual operation and dynamic to God's Word. Mm-hmm. And I think about that when I preach or when I teach, how people are actually being cleansed as they sit under the Word of God. Hopefully, I'm letting the Word speak for itself and letting it do all that, but assuming that I am, people here, they're actually being cleansed. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of thrilling to me. Yeah. That and there's so many other aspects of the spiritual work of the Word of God. But that's one important one.
Yeah. Now, we also read that that it should be anointed as well. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's see. And it shall be said, where is that verse? Verse 10, maybe? Is that what it says?
No, here we're looking at 17 through 21. I think you're back.
I was thinking a different one. I was. Right.
Now, it is kind of interesting. Blood was required before this washing, but not part of it. We never hear of it. This was part of the cleansing that flowed out of sacrificial blood.
That's right.
Not necessarily, you know, a direct result of it. Mm. Yeah. Wow. Well, good. Well, I mean, look, isn't it beautiful? Jesus Christ washes us from sin. The Word of God washes us from sin. We need to let Jesus come and wash our feet, just like he did for Peter and the disciples, to keep us cleansed as we walk in this world that he's given us to live in.
Wonderful.
Okay, well, this wraps up this section at least. Who knows if we'll come back with some more of these conversational expositions. I've enjoyed this time with both of you guys, and we'll see if we come back to it. But certainly we'll be doing other things, really just getting into God's Word around a table, talking about it together.